love is love.
Riverside. She a trifling bitch, Riverside. She be trifling.
Riverside's going to hear you, and they're going to make you cancel this, your subscription's not going to work one day, and they're going to be like,
I know.
We don't know what happened.
This Riverside is a pet peeve. It messes up all the time. Yesterday, it kicked my guest out. We have to re-record today.
The whole episode?
Well, I want to record the whole episode because I messed up again and forgot to pull my mic over for the first
Jamie.
Time. I know, really Jamie. Dumb. Really bad.
You're a veteran at this point. This shouldn't be happening.
I've done it three times that. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think you're stressed.
Yeah. Welcome to Tea Time. We're back for another Patreon exclusive episode, sharing the tea on both of our queer little lives. Very different, but...
Very different.
100%. Jamie, what's your tea this week?
My tea this week. Well, do we want to talk about like one of my big pet peeves lately?
Overall tea, life tea, pet peeves. Give it to me. Talk to me about it.
Well, you know, I've talked to you, Deani, about, you know, like when booking this show and how guests will like reach out to me. Y'all are going to hear the behind the scenes tea. I'm going to be real. I'm going to be honest because when I have my guests on, of course, I'm always super grateful that they're here. And I do love every single one of them. And also, there are many people who, because the show is more well known and it really is such a niche audience, and there are people who know that this audience is perfect for whatever it is they want to share about, I get a lot of people reaching out asking to come on the show. A lot of people who have like a book, or a lot of people who have something that would be good for the audience. And I vet these people, and I make sure that whatever, if it is somebody who really wants to push their wares, so to speak, I make sure that it is really a good fit for the audience. Like, I would never, like, you know, like, I care about my audience and I want to make sure it's a good fit. And so if it's a good fit, I bring them in. And when I do that, I have little tests like set up along the way for these guests, because they reach out. The first sentence is always, and I know it's AI generated, but, oh my God, I loved your recent episode with Deani where you talked about such and such, that the comparisons you made, you know, like they'll tell me how much they love my show and how much they love listening to a particular episode and why. Then I have a questionnaire I have every potential guest fill out. In the questionnaire, it says, one of the questions that gives me a sense of if you've actually listened is, what would your 30-second elevator pitch be? If you don't know, if you answer that question weird, like some people give me like a press release. Like some people, like they go to chat and they're like, give me a 30-second elevator pitch for the Queer Family Podcast. Oh. And then the Queer Family Podcast, like, and then chat like comes up. So it'll be like it's like a paragraph, like a reporter would say.
Yeah.
As opposed to what the 30-second elevator pitch is. Right.
So they don't actually know that on the show at the beginning of every episode, you do a 30-second elevator pitch.
Exactly. They don't know what it is. That's my first telltale sign. And then my last question is a question that really gives me an idea. Who do you like better, Helen or Beulah? With an emoji, like, And the people who really have listened give me funny responses back.
Yeah.
Because they know.
Oh, that's such a good vetting question.
So I know coming in, I know from the questionnaire if you've actually listened. Then
what are some of the responses you've gotten to the Helen and Beulah question when you know, you can tell they don't know the show or they haven't listened to an episode? What do they say? Because they're probably so confused. They're like, who the hell is Helen and Beulah?
They have no idea. Yeah. So a lot of people will be like, oh, don't make me choose, right? Or like, or they'll say not sure, or they'll say so hard to, like it's very vague. They give me like a vague answer. But the people who've listened will be like, obviously Helen, because she's been around longest, and I like whiskey too. You know what I mean? Like the people who listen know, because they know the jokes I tell about the fake Helen and Beulah.
Beulah,
So And before that, when Nicole used to help me, I added Nicole to it too. And so the people who listen would be like, obviously Nicole, because she's the only real one, right? So like,
okay,
yeah, it's my way. Now y'all are getting the inside track here.
So do you just not respond to those people then? Are you like, okay, I'm not going to interview that person?
No, because if it's a really good fit for the show, mm-hmm. I will still go forward with them. But then, Deani, I have an email I send out to every once I decide that, oh, okay, you're a good fit. I send an email saying, oh my God, congrats! I would love to have you on for this season. Blah blah blah. Here's the gist. Here's the booking link, and so then they book their spot. And then my next email back to them is, thank you so much for booking. Here's your remote recording instructions. I'm very detailed, and also please make sure you listen to a few episodes before you come in to record. Also, please make sure you follow on the socials and do all the things, right? But I make a point of saying, please listen. Like, I'm doing my homework on you.
Yeah.
Do your homework. Why did you add, you just did like a Google search and found this to be the best podcast for whatever you're pushing and you want to come on, but then you're not going to go forward and do your homework? Like, I don't understand that. Like, if I'm going to be on a show, I'm going to listen to the show, right? So anyway, then it's obvious to me. Then, of course, we get to the interview, and I'm chatting with them before, and I'm like, so you know about the elevator pitch moment? Oh, so you've listened. I've seen some of them. And I have also learned when they say that, they're talking about the clips on social media. They've checked out some of the clips. Which is not actually listened to the entire show. Oh, everybody's getting the tea right now. You see, I have feelings. I put a lot of work into this show.
Like, no, it's so valid. Yeah.
Yeah. And every episode costs me money to produce. Yeah. I pay to produce your episode. You like do me the service of just kind of like doing a little bit for it. So then, listen. Okay, so you know the elevator pitch moment. Could you? And then I'm like, okay, right. So then, and then they're like, and then they're all caught off guard because they're like, oh, I have to say it. I have to cut. Yeah. I'm going to put you on the spot.
Is that like, and does then it that's feel like a little bit of karma? Because now they're put on the spot and they're like, I have to say something. And you're like, well, you should have listened to the show because you would have known.
Right. Exactly. I told you, listen, I countless times in the questionnaire, I say, please make sure you've listened. In every email, please make sure you've listened. Like, now it's on you.
Yeah.
And now, you know. Anyway, so that's the tea there. And then, there's also like people who come on as experts in queer family building or something, right?
Or their version of queer family building.
Right.
Yeah.
Not realizing that I have done over 300 episodes. I'm not saying, I never say I'm an expert, but I have spoken to over 300 couples or people about their family building journey. Yeah. So I do know quite a bit about the story you're about to tell me. Like, even if I don't know your story, I know quite a bit about the steps and the details.
Yeah, because like each person's personal experience is going to look different, but it's still some variation of somewhat of the same thing, because there's only so many ways queer people can make a baby.
Right. Every story is completely different. And also there are some things.
Similarities. Yeah.
And there are questions. I know what questions to ask. Like if it's a surrogacy journey, I understand the process and I'm going to walk you through this interview, but there was this one mansplainer. I'm not naming any names, who, when I explained the elevator pitch, was caught off guard, but was also, I got that. I'm fine. Yeah. Okay, cool. And then proceeded to do some crazy elevator pit. Like when people, and then in the elevator, okay, Deani.
This is the tea.
And then, this is the tea. And then in the elevator pitch, when they give me their work bio, that's not the vibe. And I say who you are and why you're here on this show.
And then they give you their list of credentials and why they're qualified.
I've been in law and I went to Harvard Law School and that was not the assignment.
I didn't ask for your resume.
On this show. Yeah, I didn't ask for your resume. I asked why you're on this show. what of your story pertains to this particular show.
Yeah.
So that's my, and then that's when elevator pitches get a little edited, because like the listeners don't want to hear you. Tell me if I'm wrong, listeners, but you don't want to hear what school they went to. Like, yeah. We don't know. We're here to talk about like how you made your family and how you show up as a family. That's what we're interested in. So I think that, yeah, if you're going to take the time, go out of your way to reach out to me to come on my show and tell me you love it so much, at least like do the work and know what you're talking about. One more thing I want to say on that note. And then a lot of these people who they're doing this because they want to get their product out, right? And I only share the good ones. But and then when I do the promotions on social media, they don't do anything with them, which also really irks me. Like if I'm going to collaborate with you, accept the collaboration, or if I'm going to tag you, like put it up in your stories at least. Like why did you go out of your way to come on this show and then not use the stuff that's given to you for free, by the way, that I paid for? Anyway, yeah. And then there was this one particular guest. I am not naming names. Love is love is love is love. Who, he did his elevator pitch. He was like, oh, yeah, I got that. And then proceeded to give me his resume. And then I was like, okay. And then proceeded to like mansplain me throughout the entire episode on the ins and outs of his particular path to parenthood and certain things that go with queer parenting. And we had like kind of a head to head, like sort of an argument during the interview where he kept pushing back on me about things I know quite a lot about, like second parent adoption and laws in states, and he kept just, it was like mansplain after man. I had to cut some of it because I didn't want it. I didn't want to give conflicting info to my audience because he was saying stuff that I know to be not completely right, but he wouldn't listen to me. He was just talking at me, and I was frustrated in that interview, and I don't think it showed up. I think, you know, like I made sure to keep it nice and copacetic because that's the vibe of this show. But yes, y'all, sometimes I have feelings and it's usually of the people who come on because they're, for lack of a better term, pushing their wares and they're using this as a stepping stone and not in the intention I think you should be using it for, which is to highlight, celebrate, uplift, and normalize LGBTQIA families.
I think, and I remember specifically which guest this was too, you did a good job of cutting it out and being still even keel and talking through, but I think you did the right thing in kind of pushing back on some of those things when the person's saying it, if you know them to be incorrect, because this is also meant to be an informative show. You know, like
right.
You have people coming to this podcast for advice on queer family building, and then you don't, obviously can't have them walking away with like incorrect information. And this is really right. Important stuff, laws and things. And second parent adoption is tumultuous and it's a process. So it's like, I'm going to correct you. And that just is what's going to happen. And I'm sorry you don't like that. Or I'm not sorry you don't like that. But like,
right.
I'm going to correct you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I felt proud of myself because I did feel like I was stepping into my big girl pants.
Yeah.
Saying, here we go. I'm not.
Where are those big girl
pants,
48-year-old
Jamie is not going to back down. 40-year-old Jamie might have. But like, no, don't come at me. And I do want to. I do want to have one thing to say, like a caveat here. Like there are also countless individuals, and many of them are Patreoners now. So if you're listening, like you might have been a guest who I absolutely loved. There are countless individuals who really do come on for the right reasons, and they really want to just share their beautiful stories. And those are my favorite. And I still get a lot of those too. I still get a lot of people who want to come on just because their story hasn't been told, and it's a really important story. And that's my heart. That's my joy. That's everything.
And like you've said time and time again on the show, it's the show doesn't stop until you stop receiving emails and stop receiving inquiries and stop receiving guest pitches to come on. And as long as you keep getting them from people who have meaningful stories to share, the show must go on.
The show must go on. But also, I think as the show has gotten bigger and has been on longer, I get more of the pushing their wares folks and less of the just everyday folks. And I think it's just because people think, oh, no, my story is not like big enough, or I'm not big enough to share on this show because the show is a staple, or what, I don't know how to explain it, but I want everybody to know I want the everyday stories. And I need to like talk more about that, I think, on social media, just to let people know, like, no, yeah. I want your
encourage
story.
People to share. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And less of the pushing of the wares.
Yeah. You're always going to get that, I think, as long if you have a platform in some capacity, especially something so specific as this, it's going to happen. Yeah. Wow.
That's my tea. Y'all got some behind the scenes fire. Feisty Jamie. I get feisty.
I think that's fun, though, to understand, you know, for listeners to kind of pull back the curtain and like understand the interworkings of how you produce the show and like what goes into it and what care gets put into putting this on. So I think it's a good, it's funny and also informative.
Okay, at least it's thanks, funny for Yanni. Me
when you get all worked up.
I get worked up a lot. Oof, if only y'all know. I am busy and I'm tired. And I'm premenopausal, perimenopausal. Like this, I'm a mess. It's a mess. But we're making it happen. We're making it happen.
We're doing it.
Oh, my God. Everybody tune in for the next tea time. Because these are fun. I love these tea times.
Bye.
Tea time. Bye. Love is love on the Queer Family Podcast. Love is love.